بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ today is the 7th of May in the year 2021 and الحمدللہ we moved on to the 25th glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan and I've reached verse 84 of the blessed surah So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 86. So verse 84. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So fight in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause. You sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are held responsible only for yourself. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing his beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, he said about this verse. We mention in tafsir that some of the salaf rahimahumullah, they derive from this verse, and he recited the opening portion of verse 84, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded not to flee from the idolaters when they faced him even if he was alone. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La tuqallafu illa nafsak. You sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are responsible only for yourself. So here Hafiz ibn Kathir mentioning the Salaf, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking only to his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, fight in the cause of Allah. You are responsible only for yourself, meaning you cannot leave the battlefield, you cannot flee. That's only for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala is highlighting something unique for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning he can never, you know, retreat as they say. Also, there's a hadith. The hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Hakim states sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim, Ibn Mardawah, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abu Ishaq, he said, rahmatullah alayh, I once asked Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu, If a man attacks the lines of the idolaters, would he be throwing himself into destruction? Al-Bara radiyallahu anhu said, no, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his messenger and commanded him, and he recited this portion. فَقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا تُقَلَّفُ إِلَّا نَفْسَكْ Those fight in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause, you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are held responsible only for yourself. Then he said, that verse which you are referring to is about spending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's break this down. So At-Tabi'een asked the Sahaba, if a man launches into the kuffar, front line, you know, the front rank of the kuffar, he goes, has he thrown himself into destruction? Meaning, there's a verse in the Quran. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In Surah 2, verse 195. And he says there, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُلْكُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّحْلُقَةِ Do not with your own hands destroy yourself. So he said, if he's thrown himself into the kuffar ranks, he must have committed suicide. So Al-Bara radiyallahu anhu said, no, because that verse has got nothing to do with what you're thinking. He said, because Allah the Almighty, He's told His beloved, nobody else, only the messenger, this. You are responsible for yourself, meaning you can't retreat. Only you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, that verse which you're referring to, Surah 2 verse 195, is talking about spending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, don't be tight-fisted. So now, we need to look at that verse to understand what's taking place. So the hadith is recorded In Nasa'i, Tirmidhi number 2983, Hassan Sahih Gharib, Abu Dawood number 2512, and many others, Imam Hakim states Sahih, to the criteria of the two sheikhs. During the siege of Constantinople, when they were trying to take the city of Constantinople, a flood of Romans came out. One of the Muslims, he launched himself into the flood of Romans. The people said, Subhanallah, He has thrown himself into destruction, quoting this verse. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari corrected them. He goes, no, this verse was revealed about us, the Ansar. We had decided to stay in Medina because our wealth was perishing. Now Islam was strong. Meaning we thought we could now step off the jihad because Islam is now established. We can now rebuild our produce, our land. So Allah the Almighty Glorious revealed this verse. Do not with your own hands throw yourself into destruction. Meaning to stay back and leave jihad and focus upon our wealth. We were ordered to fight. So this explains. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not throw yourself with your own hands into destruction, it means leaving jihad and working only upon your livelihood. That's the meaning. So here the same thing happened with this verse. Somebody actually thought that this verse meant the same and he goes, no. Only Rasulullah couldn't retreat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody else is allowed to do this. But the other meaning of this verse, which is worth mentioning, and I'll give you the gist of it. The hadith is in Hakim Sahih, Targhib ibn Jarir Hassan. Hudayfa al-Bara ibn Azib, he recited the same verse and he said, it means a person commits a sin and then he throws himself into destruction by saying, Allah Ta'ala will not forgive him. That's another meaning. So look how interesting that is. You commit any sin. And then when you committed the sin, you actually think, that's it, I'm doomed. Allah Ta'ala is warning you because you're throwing yourself into destruction when you have that thought. Meaning, don't ever think I won't forgive you. So what's amazing about this is that the thought is worse than the sin. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's mercy is far greater than any sins you can commit. Right? So note, this is another meaning which is mentioned with regards to this blessed verse. And this shows how great Allah Ta'ala's mercy is. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu in Imam Ghazali's Ihya, he saw a man and he was really depressed. He goes, what's the matter with you? He goes, my sins. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, your despairing is worse than all the sins that you are depressed about. Meaning, he goes, haven't you understood the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So now, the verse continues. وَحَرِّدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Encourage the believers. So now, how did our beloved messenger encourage the believers? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Nawawi in his Al-Adhkar, page 310 of the New English Translation, he recited this verse and another verse. Surah 8 verse 65, where Allah Ta'ala says, O Prophet, rouse the believers to fight. Ya ayyuha nabiyyu harridil mu'mineen al-qital. And also this verse. Then he quotes a hadith. So don't forget, Rasulullah is a living Quran. The Quran says, rouse them to fight. How did he do that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, number 4099, Sahih Muslim, number 1805. Anas radiyallahu said, it was the battle of the trench. And the Muhajirun and the Ansar were digging the trench on a very cold morning, meaning it was very hard work, and what made it worse was blisteringly cold. When he saw their exhaustion and hunger, Rasulullah said the following, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma innal aisha aishul akhirah. فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُحَاجِرَةِ O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true life is the life of the hereafter. So forgive the Ansar and the Muhajirun. So he was doing poetry. So how was he encouraging them? Imagine, you're starving literally, you're doing physical hard labor, you're shivering, and Rasulullah starts doing poetry. اللهم إن العيش عيش الآخرة O Allah, the only true life is the life of the Akhirat. فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُحَاجِرَةِ Forgive the Ansar and the Muhajira. Look how he rhymed. English, you know, that's why you got nothing, right? Because the English lose all the meaning. So when the Quran says, rouse them to fight, what was the way he roused them? With poetry. And that's where poetry becomes sunnah. You know, just to make a difficult task easy. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once traveling a long distance and coming back, I believe, from a campaign, he told one of the Sahaba to do some poetry. And when he started doing the poetry, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be careful of the glass vessels, meaning his wives, because they get affected by it. And his name was Anjasha radiallahu. So note, this is the time. So poetry has a place in Islam. And notice how the Prophet himself would do this occasionally, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The verse continues, rouse the believers. It may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will restrain the fury of the unbelievers. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strongest in might and in punishment. So what does the Quran say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rouse the believers, O my beloved messenger. So what were the three things he would rouse them with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He would rouse them with his own courage. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, when the fighting became intense, the bravest of us were behind the Prophet seeking shelter. This is in Ahmad, Sayyid Hadith. Think about that. Who's saying that? Ali, Shaykh Khuda, Haydar, the Lion of Allah. Because when the fighting got fierce, because we would seek protection behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's one way he would rouse them. As if he was saying, look, I'm not just telling you, I'm setting the standard. His wisdom, perfect speech, he would rouse them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His gentleness in how he would do things, he would do things in the most beautiful way. And his complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus his example and trust rouse the Muslims. Think about that. He would give them enormous encouragement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Allah ta'ala is telling his beloved to do it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's actually educating the generals how to rouse the forces. I set the standard. Meaning people look up. This is why there's a very famous hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when two groups of my people are upright, my entire ummah will be upright. The scholars and the rulers. But when they are corrupt, everybody's corrupt. So why? Because the people look up to the scholars and rulers. If the rulers are pious, they go, shame on us. He goes, look, he's living such a righteous life. At least I can live a righteous life. Scholars. But if you look at the scholars and they're corrupt, and you look at the rulers and they're corrupt, what do you expect the people going to do? Everybody's at it. So Lord, the Prophet is telling you the knock-on effect, i.e. of the people of hierarchy. Verse 85. Whoever intercedes for a good cause will have a reward. And whoever intercedes for an evil cause shares in its burden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is muqeet over all things. So what does this mean? Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi, he recited this verse 85, he explained in Ibn Jarir Ibn Kathir's tafsir. This was revealed about the intercession of people on behalf of each other, i.e. to help each other in the world. So Allah Ta'ala is encouraging you that if you can help somebody, you should help them. Even if you can't help them physically, help them through interceding. Allah Ta'ala is saying that you will get the reward of the intercession. But if you're doing it for evil, you will get a share of the evil. So for instance, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man came to him in Sahih Muslim. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I need a camel. I need a camel, meaning for jihad. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I haven't got a camel, but I will direct you to somebody who does. And he goes, go to so-and-so, I think he has a camel. So when the Sahaba went towards that Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. And then the Sahaba goes, Ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling? Because the one who intercedes gets rewarded. Right? Meaning, even though I haven't given the camel, Allah Ta'ala will give me a reward of the camel because I guided towards it. So he's living Quran. What was he doing there? He's going through verse 85 now. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything he's doing is Quran because he's living the Quran. But because we're distant, we don't realize. We think, oh, this is his personal traits. But he's just showing to you Quran. And then think about that. Look how easy the reward is. He's given the camel, you've given nothing. And yet you get the reward of giving a camel. The one who's given the camel, you're thinking he deserves the reward, but you've been deceived. But the Prophet, the Quran warns, don't do it for evil. You'll get a share of the evil. Right? So keep away from the astaghfirullah. Now, what does Allah Ta'ala say at the end about himself in that verse? وَقَانُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. And Allah Ta'ala is muqeet. What does muqeet mean? Three meanings. In Ibn Jarir Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ibn Abbas said, muqeet means watcher. He's watching you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi said, muqeet means he witnesses. Muqeet means he witnesses. And it means he's able to do. Nothing can stop him. So let's superimpose these meanings. After Allah Ta'ala says, intercede for good, but don't intercede for bad. He says, I am muqeet. So what is he saying there, subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's saying, I am watching over you. Nothing escapes me. I am witnessing and I am able to do. Meaning if you do intercede for evil, I will deal with you. So know that the names that Allah Ta'ala uses at the end of every verse is most appropriate. Muqeeth means all those meanings. Here it says in power book, that's not the correct, the meaning is given by the Salaf. Our beloved Messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Bukhari, intercede and you will get a reward for it. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall decide whatever he wills by the words of his Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning encouraging you to do this. Encourage each other to do good. Verse 86. Before moving on, there's another point here. We are asked to believe that if we help and support a good cause, we share in all its credit and its eventual victory. And conversely, we cannot support a bad cause without sharing in all its evil consequences. Now, this is important. When you hear of an evil and you don't reject it, the hadith says you get a share of that evil. You have to reject it. Right? So, for instance, somebody says to you, oh yeah, something happened the day this person did this and that. And you just go, oh, what's it going to do with me? You have to reject it if it's an evil. Otherwise, you are there witnessing it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have to reject it. And a lot of people think that they're innocent because we're not even involved in these things. But when people bring things to your ears, you reject it straight away. Say, ya Allah, I reject that. In other words, that was evil. Why has he brought that news to me for? Astaghfirullah. If you don't reject it, you are actually, you know, part and parcel of that. And one of the disasters in today's day and age, people start sharing these clips where people are being killed. Think about that. Because have you seen this? Guy gets crushed. Oh, why are you showing me that for? You know, it happened. Death came to him. So now, if you don't reject it, ya Allah, I wasn't there, and if this person was killed innocently, I had nothing to do with it, you got a share of that murder. And guess who's done it? Somebody's brought it to you. So look how shaitan's playing with us. You know, why are you showing these people getting killed, right? This guy got shot. He showed me that. Why did he show me that for? He said, oh no, these were gangsters and they shot this guy. What do you think? Don't show me things like that. Astaghfirullah. On the day of judgment, Allah's going to question me. What happened? I rejected Ya Allah. I didn't accept it. I thought, you know what? I didn't want this to be shown to me. So again, no, be careful of this. Don't start, being a cause of further sin. Astaghfirullah. Verse 86. Now look how strange. Allah Ta'ala is talking about jihad. He's talking about intercession. And all of a sudden in verse 86, he talks about salam. And what does he say? When a greeting is offered to you, meet it with a greeting still more courteous, or at least of equal courtesy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes careful account of all things. So you're thinking, okay, mashallah, why is Allah Ta'ala talking about this in jihad? And this is so important. The Quran flows. There's no jaggedness to the Quran. The opposite to the command to fight in a good cause is to command to cultivate sweetness and cordiality in our manners at all times. Fighting is an exceptional necessity. The sweetness of daily human intercourse is normal need. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding you of normality. Jihad isn't normal. That's a, exception to the rule, where you show harshness and firmness. Allah Ta'ala is not talking about normal times. He goes, look, this is what you normally do. Somebody gives you a greeting, you give them a better greeting back. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you that we're not warmongers. The Quran is telling you that. And where do you find the verse of salam? Right here, in the middle of jihad. Right? Allah Ta'ala is indicating this. Now there's a direct tafsir of this verse from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the hadith is recorded in Tabarani, Al-Haythami, in Majma al-Zawaid, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 638. Salman al-Farsi, he relates, radiyallahu anhu. Somebody came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied, Wa alayka as-salamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Another companion arrived and he said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa rahmatullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A third sahaba arrived and said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah this time said, Wa alik. The sahaba then said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when those two came, you greeted them with better words. But when I gave you the full salam, you just said, Wa alik. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you left nothing for me to add. And he goes, Allah Ta'ala says, and he recited this verse, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنَهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. When you are greeted with a greeting, reply with a better greeting or at least the same. I therefore return your greeting, because there is nothing better than this. So one sahab, this is what the sahab would do, they get the Prophet to give more blessings. Assalamu alaikum, he asks, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, better greeting, better return. Somebody gave a double, he gave a triple. When the sahaba gave a triple, there's nothing to beat that. So the Prophet goes, wa alaika. Then third one's devastated. He says, ya Rasulullah, he goes, I want to get wa alaika. He goes, yes, because Allah Ta'ala says, give a better, but I can't do better because you completed it. So I've just done what the second part of the verse says, give was equal. So the sahaba smiles, he goes, oh, mashallah. So when somebody gives you the complete salam, you say wa alaik if you want to. But this is important, you don't say wa alaikum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that if the people of the book give you salam, you say wa alaikum. Right? What's the difference? Wa alaika is single. So a believer's given you the full salam, you singled him out and you. But when the unbeliever gives you salam, you don't know his intentions. And they're a group. So you say, wa alaikum. Meaning if you have done good for me, may you get good. But if you meant bad, reversely on you. In fact, there's another report, beautiful report about Sa'd ibn Ubadah, one of the chiefs of the Ansar. And once the Prophet came to his dwelling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he knocked. And he said, assalamu alaikum, may Rasulullah enter. So Sa'd ibn Ubadah goes, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he doesn't hear him and he waits, he knocks again, says it again, and he says it very quietly again. The third time when Rasulullah gives the salam, he leaves. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'd comes running out. He goes, ya Rasulullah, please, please come in. Because every time you said the salam, I returned the salam, but I wanted to get more blessings. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then smiled. He goes, oh, mashallah. So the sahaba were looking for these blessings from Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note here this verse. Now, when do you stop? So there's a beautiful hadith. The hadith is in Tabarani, in his Awsat, Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 68, authentic. Our beloved mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet once said to her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Aisha radiallahu anha, Jibreel is here, alayhi salatu wa salam, he gives salam to you. Aisha replied, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And she goes, I was about to add something, and the Prophet said, the salam ends, oh barakatuh. Jibreel then said, may the mercy and blessings of Allah the Almighty be upon you, O Ahlul Bayt. So this adds a very important clarification. You don't add to wa barakatuh. So you say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Aisha wanted to, because the Quran was given better. But the Prophet stopped her. Imagine, even to Jibreel. And when she completed the return, Jibreel then added, may the peace and blessings be upon you, O family of the Prophet. Or Ahlul Bayt, meaning the wives of Ahlul Bayt, if only the Rawafid ibn Sulaiman. So now, is there any exception to this? There is a hadith in Abu Dawud where a sahaba added, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfirah. Oh, wa maghfirah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, he has received 40 rewards and his rewards are still multiplying. So there's an addition here. So you say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The person replies, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. According to this hadith in Abu Dawud, you get 40 good deeds. But what the scholar said about this? Imam Qurtubi, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his tafsir, volume 5, page 299, he said, nothing should be added after wa barakatuh. The hadith of Abu Dawud with maghfiratuh is weak. Thus, many of the jurists have ignored it. So this hadith in Abu Dawud, which adds something, most of the jurists have ignored it because it's weak. Then he quotes hadith, and this is in Anwarul Bayan, volume 2, page 515. Imam Malik, in his Muwatta, he relates from Ibn Abbas, that Ibn Abbas said that after wa barakatuh, there is nothing. You don't add. Ibn Abbas said the salam terminates at barakah. Imam Muhammad in his Muwatta said, we accept this. A person should stop after saying wa barakatuh. It is best to follow the sunnah. So most scholars say you stop at wa barakatuh. However, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani in Fath al-Bari, he looked at all the hadith with wa barakatuh, and he said, all these hadith have weak chains of transmission, but all of them have some strength. He then said, to add to wa barakatuh is not sunnah, but it is permissible. To add to wa barakatuh is not sunnah, but it is permissible because there's something there. So look how beautifully Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, Amir al-Mu'mineen of al-Hadith, he gave you the complete ruling. He said, if somebody adds to it, it's not sunnah. You can never call it a sunnah. But you can't say anything because there's something there. But what did the sheikhs mention? Khair al-Hadiyya, Hadiyya Muhammad. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning you stop where he stops. But if somebody adds to it, don't make it into a big thing. If he does it, say, mashallah, brother. The most you can say is, brother, it's better to follow the sunnah. If you do it, there's something there, mashallah. But isn't the sunnah enough for you? You know, subhanAllah. Didn't the Prophet stop Aisha from adding, radiyallahu? So if he stopped her, why would he stop his beloved wife? And who is she replying to? Not Peach Chacha Sahab, right? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, right? And he stopped her from returning to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The other thing important to point out is that Aisha gets the salam from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Khadija gets the salam from Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khadija's rank is great. What's the difference? Allah Ta'ala conveyed his salam to Khadija. But when it comes to Aisha, Allah Ta'ala told Jibreel to give salam. So there is a difference there. It's not the same. But, of course, they're both in Jannat al-Firdaus. So now another question is posed. What if a non-Muslim gives you a greeting? How do you respond to that? So there's a few reports I'll mention. In Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 1107, and it's Hassan. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhu, رُدُّ السَّلَامَ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ يَهُودِيَّ أَوْ نَصْرَانِيَّ أَوْ مَجُوسِيَّ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. Then he recited, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. Explain. Ibn Abbas said, return the greeting to whoever gives it to you, whether he's a Jew, Christian, or fire worshipper, because Allah Ta'ala says, and he recited this verse, when you are greeted, respond with a better greeting or return the like of it. Now, what's shocking about this report? It's authentic. The Quran doesn't mention Muslim. Look at the verse. When a greeting is offered to you, give a greeting more courteous. Does it mention Muslim? So, Ibn Abbas, Tarjaman al-Quran said, the reason's obvious. Allah Ta'ala is not just talking about Muslims. So, he said, if a Jew, Christian, or even a fire worshipper gives you a greeting, you have to respond with a better one or at least equal. That's the meaning of this verse, said Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Also, some other reports to clarify. In Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 1101, and it's Sahih, Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, he wrote to a Persian official and greeted him in his letter. So imagine a Sahaba wrote a letter to a Persian official and he's greeted him. So people ask, do you greet him when he is an unbeliever? أَتُسَلِّمُ عَلِيَ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Abu Musa said, إِنَّهُ قَتَبَ إِلَيَّ فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ فَرَدَتُ عَلَيْهِ. He wrote to me first, he greeted me, so I answered him. Because he wrote a letter to me and he greeted me. And he goes, I have to return with a greeting equal, if not better. So here the scholars say, it is not allowed to give the greeting of salam to the non-Muslims. You don't initiate it. You understand? So you don't go to a Jew, assalamu alaikum, right? Right? You don't initiate the greeting to a non-Muslim. But if they initiate the greeting, then you respond. Have you understood the difference? Right? If they initiate the greeting, then you respond. Another report. Al-Qama, he said, this is in Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 1104, Sahih. He said, إِنَّمَا سَلَّمَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الدَّحَاكِينَ إِشَارَةً. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu used to greet the Persian authorities with a gesture. So if you want to initiate, you don't say anything. You just do this. Right? Right, you do that one to them. That's what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud did, radiallahu. So here the scholars say, one could initiate a greeting to a non-Muslim with other known forms of greetings, such as good morning, how are you? But not the salam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was teaching me that. He goes, the salam is for the believers. As-salamu alaykum. So you see, you can say pleasant morning, pleasant evening, nice day, etc. You're looking well. You can do that. Because Ibn Mas'ud was doing this, indicating that's fine. But don't use anything in terms of as-salam. Now, a shocking report. In Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, number 1113, Sahih, Ibn Abbas, look what he said. Subhanallah. لو قال لي فرعون بارك الله فيك قلت وفيك وفرعون قد مات. Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhu, if Fir'aun said to me, may Allah Ta'ala bless you, I would say, and you. But Fir'aun is dead. Subhanallah. So look what Ibn Abbas did. He went to big shaitan. So you can't even pull that one. Oh, you don't know this person. He's the jealous one. He said, well, you know who Fir'aun is, don't you?
Sorry.
Right? You know who Fir'aun is? Yes. Imagine if Fir'aun said this to Ibn Abbas. Barakallah feek. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. What do you think Ibn Abbas would say to him? You think, God help me. Right? He goes, and you. May Allah bless you. But then he goes, but sadly he's dead. Meaning, look, you know, you can't do it because he's dead. So what was he telling you? He initiated, shaitan initiates the greeting. He goes, I can reply to that. Because who knows, maybe Allah Ta'ala will give him guidance by this salam. So this is again important with this verse. So this verse isn't exclusively for the Muslims. It's for the non-Muslims as well. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching you, and know this is how we should interact with non-Muslims. Now question to finish. If a non-Muslim gives you salam, As-salamu alaykum, because they're fond of that. You know, you know they even do it with qiraat sometimes. You know, you think, mashallah, you know, you don't, you know, qiraat in Bible college, right? So, As-salamu alaykum. When they give you our salam, then you reply by saying, wa alaykum, and your. There's two reasons you should learn wa alaykum, why you should learn this. Because when a person sneezes, now this is interesting. If a Muslim sneezes, you say, Alhamdulillah, your brother or sister says, Ya Rahamakullah, and you say, Yahdikum Allah, Yuslihu Balu. If a non-Muslim sneezes, you go straight to stage three. Yahdikum Allah, Yuslihu Balu. May Allah Ta'ala guide you and rectify your affairs. So sometimes these zikrs that you learn aren't just for Muslims. That zikr is also for a non-Muslim. So when you get a non-Muslim who sneezes, you say, Yahdikum Allah, Yuslihu Balukum. May Allah Ta'ala guide you and rectify your affairs. Now one of the scholars said, maybe through that they will get guidance and you'll get all of their rewards. So what's the worth of that zikr? Yahdikum Allah, Yuslihu Balukum. Even when they're on TV, one scholar says, you know, it might be recording and you say non-Muslim. He's going to say it. Allah Ta'ala is not interested in time because he created time. Right? Was, oh yeah, but if he's dead, then it's maybe too late. Right? You know, he's dropped. But even if he's alive, 20 years ago, there was a recording. You say, Yahdikum wa yuslihu balukum. May Allah Ta'ala guide you and rectify your affairs. But when it's a Muslim, you say, Alhamdulillah, he says, Yahdikum Allahu yarhamuk. Then you say to him, the one who said the dua, Yahdikum Allahu yuslihu balukum. So it's to a Muslim who's responded to your sneeze or to a non-Muslim who sneezed. And what do they say? This is interesting. They say, bless you. You know, how interesting. That's their fitrah. When you sneeze, you know, some good non-Muslims go, bless you. Yahdikum Allah, yuslihu balukum. MashaAllah. And just to finish, what does it say at the end of the verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after mentioning the ruling of greeting, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes careful account of all things. So what does this mean? What this refers to is that don't think these are small things. You know, when you give salam, Your nafs thinks and shaitan, oh, there's bigger things than salam, bro. Then just get up. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, every salam I'm recording. Everything's being recorded. So look how beautiful. When he talks about interceding, he uses his name, Muqeet. Meaning, I am watching, I am witnessing, I have power. And when he's talking about salam, he goes, I'm counting. Meaning, it's an encouragement. Now, what did the Prophet say about the salam? Is a hadith, I can't remember the reference, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever gives 25 salams to a Muslim, to Muslims during the day, and he dies that day, he will go to paradise. Right? So think about that, 25 salams. So you should be regularly giving salam. If you die, imagine, you got a guarantee of Jannah. One of the companions, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he went with a tabi'in called Dufail to the market. And all he did in the market was giving salam. So imagine, going to any market now. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalam. So the tabi'in then told, why has he brought us to the market? So then after they came back, he goes, teacher, he goes, why did you take it? You didn't buy anything. You didn't sell anything. You just gave salam. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, oh Abu Batn, oh father of the stomach. Right? Now he wasn't fat. What he meant was, is that all you think about? Market. Eating. Oh father of the stomach, right? Oh Abu Batn. He goes, I'm only going there for salam. What greater business can there be? When you go to the market, you do business. That's what the place is for. He goes, I'm going there for the ultimate business. It's a sunnah of the sahaba. And the scholars say shaitan hates it when you do business there for akhirat. Why? Because what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said in Tirmidhi Sahih, whoever goes to the market and says, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ حَيُّ لَا يَمُدُ بِيَدَيَ الْخَيْرِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Am I about to do something, right? But if you say that zikr, 1 million good deeds is written for you, 1 million sins forgiven, 1 million ranks elevated, and you get a palace in paradise. Authentic hadith. Why are you getting all these? Allah Ta'ala loves it. You're going to shaitan's backyard, you're doing zikr. So Abdullah ibn Umar goes, let me put a few salams in there as well. Right, so again, you know, you should be, you know, realizing how to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, when you go there, you keep your eyes down. No point committing sins and giving salam to everybody, is there? Astaghfirullah, right? You know, you go there to acquire virtues. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Faqatil fi sabilillah. لا تقلف إلا نفسك وحرد المؤمنين عسى الله أن يكف بأس الذين كفروا والله أشد بأسا وأشد تنكيلا من يشفع شفاعة حسنة يكن له نصيب منها ومن يشفع شفاعة سيئة يكن له كفل منها وكان الله على كل شيء مقيتا وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحِيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنَهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafii khusr. Alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.